In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I remember from Dr. Scare's classes is that God always works through means. The Old Testament lesson from Numbers 21 for this past Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Lent, shows this quite clearly. The children of Israel had a marked tendency to forget all that God had done for them. It was because of God's mighty hand that they had escaped slavery in Egypt and were on their way to the promised land. It was because of God's mighty hand that the soldiers of Pharaoh were drowned in the Red Sea while the children of Israel crossed safely. But the children of Israel were stubborn, hard-headed, and self-willed. They no doubt had a good deal of German blood in them. The 21st chapter of Numbers shows them again at a time of impatience. They stubbornly cried out to Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." God once again showed them how serious he was about their speaking against Moses and himself. He sent poisonous snakes among them, and many of the Israelites died. And God once again got the attention of these stubborn Germans. I mean stubborn Israelites. They repented, turning to Moses and God for forgiveness and healing. At this point, the story takes what anyone would regard as a strange twist. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. God spoke. And it was so. God said, "Whoever will look at the snake will live." And it was so. The snake on the pole was the means that God had chosen to effect healing for the Israelites. The snake on the pole was God's instrument for healing his people. Although Moses does not tell us, there were undoubtedly some Israelites who also thought, "What good will looking at a snake do? There must be a better way." These Israelites may have tried many other remedies for snake bite, but they would have died. The only remedy that God gave them was to look at the snake and live. The only means that God used to heal his people was the snake on the pole. The story of Naaman, commander of the army of Aram, gives us another good example of God's working through means. When Naaman heard that the prophet Elisha in Israel might be able to cure his leprosy, he traveled to meet him. Elisha didn't meet Naaman personally. Instead, Elisha sent Naaman a messenger with this message: "Go. Wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Unfortunately, Naaman's analytic mind got in the way. Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of leprosy." We could note here that Elijah would never have made it as a televangelist. Not only did he not make a huge production of his healing of Naaman, but he later refused to accept the money that Naaman would gladly have given him. But to continue with Naaman's complaint, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. By refusing to accept the means which God had chosen to use, Naaman was refusing to accept God and his proffered healing. However, Naaman's story, you will recall, has a happy ending. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" Naaman then did as Elisha had told him, and he was healed. "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it?" There's the center of the human problem. Sinful humans would prefer to develop their own means, their own grandiose ways of doing things, rather than accept the simple means which God has chosen to do his work. Our Lord himself talks about the simple means which God uses to bring healing and salvation to sinners in our text for today. "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." Predictably, though, there were those who rejected Jesus' statements. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" God chooses to distribute the salvation won for sinners on the cross of Calvary through means. To reject those means is to reject God and the salvation he desires for all people. It is well known that the evangelist John was living in a time of incipient Gnosticism. The Gnostics refused to believe that God would have anything to do with real physical things. They were anti-material, anti-sacramental. We are living in an age of new Gnosticism. Many people, other than those who are radically materialist, are anti-material, anti-sacramental. For such people, God's entire revelation reminds us that to reject God's means is to reject the salvation that God wishes to give through those means. But thanks be to God that he continues to work through simple means. God will continue to offer his salvation through men who are called to be, or by the grace of God, will called to be, stewards of the mysteries of God, for that is God's way. Amen.